You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Welcome back, Ellen Jaffe Jones, author of Vegan Fitness for Mortals. Could you tell us a little bit about foods that promote recovery and reduce inflammation?
Well, the two that come to mind the most are ginger and turmeric. These have long been associated with anti-inflammatory properties. So you can use them in food. Even turmeric is marketed now as a supplement. But, you know, certain cultures of the world have turmeric on their stovetops and use it as commonly as Americans use salt. So those are the two that come to mind the most, and fresh ginger is always great. You can put it in a stir fry or some kind of sauce you might be making, or you can even put it in a smoothie recovery drink. It's really important to consume some protein and carbohydrates within an hour of exercise because our muscles tear a little bit, little microfiber tears, and that's what can cause pain and discomfort. But if you eat that snack within the hour, that really helps to start the repair process in a healthy way. And so a lot of athletes do that, vegan or not.
Okay. Ellen, how about tips for eating for weight loss?
Well, everybody's different, and the most important thing is, you know, the whole adage of calories in, calories out. So the fewer calories you consume is better if you are trying to lose weight. But when you increase your exercise or activity, of course, you're going to be hungrier. So the idea is to eat less calorie-dense foods. And so you eat foods with more water in them. That means they're less calorie dense. And you can make juices, smoothies, use them in salads, things like celery, tomatoes. You know, any vegetable really is quite good. What may not be as good would be like a white potato, but sweet potatoes are, that's the way I actually lost my weight, and that's been well documented, using sweet potatoes or a whole grain as maybe a third of your plate, and then two-thirds of your plate would be vegetables, and if you wanted to lose weight faster, the more raw vegetables you can incorporate, the better it is. And, you know, for athletes, though, if you have cravings, that probably means you do need to consume more calories, so listening to your body is very important in this whole process. But I like to say that running and a vegan diet are magical, and it really is fascinating to see how easy, at least it seems for some people, to lose weight when they put these two components together. The other thing, too, I do like green tea. Green tea does seem to rev up the metabolism a little bit, especially as you're going through menopause. So that might be something to think about, too. Now, I must say I'm not a dietitian or a doctor, so all I am is a personal trainer and somebody who's been doing this for a lot of years.
Sitting is the new smoking. That's part of your book there. Can you speak to that?
Oh, my gosh. It's so amazing. I'm a gadget freak, and I'm considered pretty tech savvy, especially for my age. So I just bought an Apple Watch, but I had a Garmin before that, and I really liked my Garmin, but because I'm in this field, I kind of feel like I need to know what all the different devices are. And all of these devices now have activity monitors built into them. And the Apple Watch is, I mean, I don't get anything for saying this, but it really is quite sophisticated. So you can look right down at it and see, like today, I've only stood. It keeps track of how much you stand every hour, and it wants you to stand at least for, I think it's a couple of minutes every hour. And I haven't done that today, only about 50% of the time. So things like that, it calculates or tracks your steps, of course, and 10,000 steps is kind of the average that many of the activity monitors want you to do. But if you are sitting all day long, and even if you have run 3 miles in the morning, this was the most incredible research I came across, it negates everything you did in the morning. So you have to get up and move, and there are lots of ways you can do that. Like right now, I'm standing and pacing while I'm talking. So all those kinds of things, good ways to ramp it up a little bit, just in ways you may not think are important, but really are.
Okay. Ellen, how much sleep do you get a night? You sound like you're just so packed full of energy.
I try to get between 6 and 8 hours. Now, the night before a veg fest where I'm speaking or a race that I'm doing, I have a tough time falling asleep, and I always wake up before my alarm. So I guess that's a testimonial to how much stress can affect our level of sleep. But I really do try and not drink too much liquid before bed, because that will wake me up, and yet that's hard for a lot of us too. We do need to be consuming a lot of water, especially, and not be chronically dehydrated, which a lot of us get to be when we get such busy lives and forget to drink water.
Yes, and you're biking, you're swimming, you're weight training, you're doing yoga. That's a lot to fit in.
Well, it depends what I'm training for. I belong to a gym, so it's very easy to, and I'm training with a personal trainer now for the National Senior Games, because I really would like not to be so dependent on my orthotics. And if you get the right muscles trained, I've heard this from enough people, from physical therapists and other personal trainers I respect, you can, if your knees are strong enough, dump the orthotics. But it's hard. I've been using orthotics since the age of 28 when I started running. So I don't know if that'll happen or not. But, yeah, yoga we have. I live in Florida, so we have yoga on the beach, which is wonderful, or you can take it at the gym. And swimming after I run with our running club on the weekends, that's really easy to do. I mean, you just find ways to build it into your schedule. Although I think I heard in the commercial break your temperature is like 5 below 0 there.
Something like that, yeah. So give us a few tips for avoiding injury.
I'm sorry?
Could you give us a few tips just for avoiding injury when we start to work out, how to listen to our bodies, what to do dealing with injuries?
Sure. You know, it used to be thought you got to feel the burn and work through the pain. But that, I think, is out the window now. Because if you're starting to feel pain, especially while you're working out, it may be your body giving you some feedback that you need to listen to. So backing off is really the most important thing. Resting is important. And I remember reading about the Kenyan marathoners and how they would spend the summer just being couch potatoes. And I thought that was an interesting example of how sometimes we do need to take longer periods of time off. In the description I was reading, the marathoners didn't really have access to medical care or doctors. So they were forced to listen to their body to the point where they just had to rest. And I think that's a great lesson for all of us, especially as we try and figure out what kind of medical care we're getting, if we can. So just if it feels really, really badly, especially, you have to back off of it. I had a stress fracture of the third metatarsal arch when I was trying to do the whole barefoot running thing, and I thought I was doing it right. I'd listened to the videos and my gurus, and sure enough, that was it. And yet I wasn't really sure it was a stress fracture. So that is a thing you do have to pay attention to, and go see a doctor if you have any concerns.
Okay, and starting to create a vegan transition, being a vegan in a non-vegan world, how do you navigate that?
Being a vegan in a non-vegan world. Funny you should say that. Just this weekend, I had lunch with some friends of a friend, and we went out to eat, and it was a fish restaurant, and they're going like, well, what can you possibly eat? Are you just going to order lettuce? And I ended up getting this beautiful salad plate, and they all like looked at it and said, that's gorgeous, can we have some? And that's usually what happens in the non-vegan world. And if you're going someplace, you know, you just bring whatever salad or dish you want to make sure that you have something to eat. And you know, I wrote a book called Kitchen Divided just to deal with situations like that. And basically, all you can do is lead by example. And people come up to me all the time and ask me how I do what I do, because I do not look my age. And they just kind of, I've even had people demand to see my driver's license. I was PETA's sexiest vegan over 50 a couple of years ago. So people even like grab onto my hair and say, like, you still have your hair. And I go, well, am I not supposed to? And with menopause, women often do at least thin out their hair. And I think again, maybe it's genetics, but I have to give a lot of credit to my diet. And people who have cut my hair over the years talk about how beautiful my hair looks and that you can really tell how a person is eating by what condition their hair is in.
Do you eat a lot of extra oils? You know, avocados, or do you really try and pump up the oils?
I don't. You know, there's a whole school of thought and somewhat of a division in the vegan world between the doctors who do low oil, low salt, low sugar. So I sometimes will add some oil to a dressing if, you know, I want something different on my salad, but generally I don't cook with oils, and because sometimes I feel like if I look at a nut, I gain weight, but it's important to eat some nuts for the different nutrients and minerals that they have, but I generally don't glob my food with oil. I mean, it's there are some doctors who say the fats you eat are the fats that you wear, and I think there is some truth to that, whether it's vegan or not. So just keeping an eye on it. It's important to feel satisfied, and that doesn't mean you should never eat oils or consume oils, but eating foods in their natural state is important. I always ask my clients, you know, what did Mother Nature intend? What are we really supposed to be eating? And processed foods, not so much.
Okay, and finding your vegan community, that would be important to really enjoy your food.
Yes, because of computers and all kinds of wonderful apps, there's an organization called Meetup, and whatever interest you have, if you put it into the Meetup site, you can find vegans, you can find vegetarians. In our community, they're just probably a half dozen within driving range, and they're always having get-togethers of some kind, whether it's at a restaurant or a picnic somewhere. It is important to find other people who support you, especially if you don't have family members who are there with you.
Okay. Ellen, I've just got to ask you, you look so young on the cover of your book, Vegan Fitness for Mortals. Is that taken in the last few years or when you were 20?
You are so funny. Checks in the mail. No, that was just taken last year before the book came out. We have a fabulous wedding photographer on the island, so and I live on an island, so that was his. He spent probably an afternoon with me, just in different poses, and that's the one my publisher chose. But no, that is exactly what I look like. If you go on my Facebook page, you'll see. Although this weekend they got a shot of me. It was raining, so I was sporting the wet rat look at the 5K race that I did. But no, that's pretty much how I look once I dry my hair.
Ellen, thank you so much for being on the program today. We've been speaking to Ellen Jaffe-Jones, author of Vegan Fitness for Mortals.
Thanks so much for having me.
And I would just like to thank our producer, Alan Wishart, today. And we'd like to thank all the stations across the country who air this Health First program. May your week be healthy and happy.